Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and it is time to talk with Dr. Ranjit Kudali. He's the Dean of the Graduate School and Professor of Chemistry at the University of South Dakota. Dr. K, thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Kara. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So we're going to talk today about a new application for chemically strengthened glass.
Absolutely.
This is just kind of something you spray on top, right?
Well, so there are several ways to actually strengthen glass itself. So one could be coating, as you indicated, by having, for example, many of the windshield glass on the car windshields, for example. You'll see when the rain falls on the windshield and we use the wipers, they actually, these water droplets bead rather than forming a thin film. And so that is because these glasses are coated with some hydrophobic materials that increase what we call the contact angle. And so these water droplets actually bead, and so they just easily slide away. But there are other technologies available for actually providing strength to glass, and that is using a lamination technology where you have plastics or polymer materials that are inserted between the layers of glass.
So kind of what you put on top of your phone screen, the if you buy one of those?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So let's just step back for a moment. And so glass can be easily made by taking sand. So Kara, if you go to a beach, and for mm-hmm. some reason the temperature rises to 3,000 Fahrenheit, the sand will become glass. And in fact, it's okay. been observed, actually, when some of these nuclear explosions and atomic bombs were tested in remote locations, in deserts, etc., they found that the sand literally had melted and formed glass-like beads. So wow. glass can be made, actually, because the main constituent of glass is actually silica. SiO2 is the chemical formula, but it's actually basically sand. So sand is actually one of the primary ingredients for making glass. So you take silicon dioxide or silica, which is sand, and then, so if you just use that, you need very high temperatures, like I mentioned, about 3,000 Fahrenheit. And so to make the process more efficient and lower the energy cost, they add other ingredients that are available. And so those are actually soda ash is added. And what is also added is lime. And so a glass typically has silicon dioxide, silica, sand. It has sodium carbonate, which is soda ash. And it has calcium carbonate, which is limestone. So this is how glass has been made, by taking sand, going to some sites which have calcium, limestone, soda ash, heating it to high temperatures, and we get this material. We can make it into films, into jars, into light bulbs, windows, you name it. But the challenge is that it shatters easily. And so, especially when we want windshields, for example, in applications, it has to withstand strength. And also, when it shatters, it should not have sharp edges. So this is where changes have been made to the glass manufacturing processes. And this, for example, the easiest way to do this is by adding another ingredient in the manufacture of glass. And that's something that we use every day, like, for example, we use glassware for baking, Bakelite, Pyrex, etc. Mm-hmm. Those have the same composition as glass, but they have another element, which is boron oxide. And so that boron atoms imparts basically strength and durability to the glass, so it can undergo repeated heating and cooling, and so it becomes less resistant to breakage.
And so what now they're working at developing and adding another component to even strengthen glass more for other applications?
Yep. So basically what has happened in the glass industry is the art of making glass has been is well known for hundreds of years. So now what they're trying to make is functionalize glass or add value to the glass for various applications. One can think of our smartphones where a glass technology originally invented by Corning in the 1960s is now being used for smartphones. So Corning actually developed this so-called Gorilla Glass in the 1960s, and it was commercialized, but it never became much popular. It was used, in fact, one of the applications that they used, the Corning glass, was for sport race cars. So essentially, then the idea was that these windshields and glass, they're very heavy, so we want to reduce the drag on the vehicle and reduce the weight. And so essentially what they did was they introduced some polymer layers, and they made the glass component much thinner and added this polymer layer that provided more durability and made it less resistant to shatter. So now where we are going is with our smartphones, we have the Corning glass has multiple generations of glass technology. We are now in the, we have what is so-called Gorilla Glass 5. So they are resistant to shatter, and they have some standard tests to measure that. But they also have other properties. One of them is actually having them coated with a very thin layer of silver nanoparticles, so it will prevent bacteria from growing. And so what is being done is to impart durability to these glass for various applications, and also try to make it more resistant to prevention of growth of bacteria for smartphones, and also remove smudges and so on. So there's always this ongoing advances in technology wherein you're trying to make these glasses much thinner, but yet have multiple functionalities.
And beyond a smartphone, Dr. K, what other applications would this have?
So absolutely. So originally, like I said, it was used for car windshields where they actually made the glass components much less thick and added plastics and polymers. So they also realized that when you add these polymer layers, then they are much more resistant to fractures. So if there is let's say we have a bullet that is striking a windshield or a car window, then when incorporating this glass with these polymers and laminating them essentially provides them with bullet resistance properties. So these many of these so-called bulletproof glass, essentially they are bullet resistant glass. They rely on the same principles that are being used now in car windshields. So you have it when you want to transport money or something very secure and valuable, you have these fortified vehicles, for example, that transport the Pope, the U.S. President, etc. Mm-hmm. Having these, actually these are glass, but they're actually composite materials consisting of glass and plastics that are bonded together with multiple layers.
Hmm. Well, see, I'm more worried about that rock chip.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yes, and so we sometimes see it on our front windshield, right?
Not so much a bullet coming at me, but the rock from the truck, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so it's really fascinating. So what there's an industry standard test. So essentially what they do is when they make these, they add these functionalities and layers to these glass, Kara. What they do is they actually simulate this test, and the test is as follows. They actually take a diamond-tipped dart. So they have a dart. They have a its edge is with diamond, which is one of the hardest material that we know of. And so they actually shoot this diamond-tipped dart on a piece of glass. And then they look at whether the glass shatters, And so typically what happens is you have, at the point of impact, there is a hole, and then there is a fracture, what is called a radial fracture. So you can see a hole and then the cracks emanating from that center where the impact has been. And what Corning researchers have seen is that when you make these Gorilla Glass hybrid laminate, you just get a small chip. It is essentially what happens is this polymer is highly flexible and durable, and essentially it prevents the bullet from piercing through the inner layer of the glass and causing that chip. So these polymer molecules, they are flexible and they can deform and prevent high impact forces.
So this is just going to continue to find new uses and new ideas for, I mean, even if you make your glass in a vehicle thinner, it's going to cause, you know, the car's going to weigh less, it's going to get different mileage, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So where car manufacturers are going is looking primarily to reduce weight, and so they have moved. Many of them have moved from metals, and they're trying to use metals that are lighter. So a lot of car parts are made of aluminum rather than steel and iron, and also many car parts are made of composite materials. People are talking about carbon composites that are much more lighter and durable and flexible, and that can be much easily repaired when there is an impact or an accident. So now what they're looking at is opportunities where glass, which is traditionally heavy, is, are there opportunities to replace those glass and try to make not only the car reduce the drag by reducing the weight, but also import other functionalities like, if, for example, if you want to clean the glass easily, then you can coat it with some hydrophobic material. So this way, dirt will not stick to the windows and the windshield, so there is clarity when you drive. And, and also, there are efforts to make it more flexible and lighter. And so that's with the car technology, but there's a whole host of other applications inside the car as well. For example, the display boards also are moving towards replacing these purely glass with this composite materials.
Well, Dr. K, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today. I always appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, as always, to be on SDPB.